You're listening to the Bug Bucks Podcast, hosted by Alan Draper and Eric Bassett. Each week, they'll discuss ways to scale and grow your pest control company with a goal of helping you become a bug money millionaire.
A lot of businesses, you know, you had quote unquote customers or somebody that you dealt with on a routine basis, or I should say my team dealt with. But, you know, the great thing about pest control is we just happen to kill bugs. It's a customer focused industry. Any company I've worked for, any service person that's worked for me, if we're not typical pulling the trash cans up, you know, if they're sitting out while we're doing the service, then we're not providing top level service.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Bug Bucks Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Draper. I got my main sidekick here with me today. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, Alan, not too much, man. Another week goes by and it's another week closer to this upcoming season, dude. It's getting real.
I know. I'm getting excited. I love bug season, man. Yep. I love bugs. Call me a freaking nerd, man. I love bugs.
I love summer for that whole reason. I love summer for a lot of reasons, but since I've been in pest control so long, summer is just synonymous with money and growth and revenue for me. I love it.
Yep, absolutely. We have an awesome guest today. We're going to get to him in just a second. Make sure to join our Bug Bucks group on Facebook. It's BUGBUX. Make sure to get in there. Man, that content's getting good. We're having great conversations in there. We're talking about all sorts of stuff. We're talking about branding. We're talking about hiring. We're talking about creating visions and solving problems. We're talking about how to get your company, if it's not quite there, to $1 million in annual revenue. Lots of great content in there. And I've dropped a little hint or slash teaser about this in the past. Bug Bucks is developing something very cool, a new set of tools and resources. So make sure you stay tuned. We are dropping the occasional hint in that Bug Bucks group specifically. So make sure to look out for that. Today, I'm excited for our guest, Lee Thompson. Lee, check this out. Lee ran the fourth largest Terminix in the country. And if he's okay with it, we'll say what that was doing annually. He was also the president of Pruitt Pest Control, which a lot of you are familiar with, but he stepped down in December and took the role of director of sales enablement at Certus. And we're going to talk a little bit about his path. He has been in the pest control industry a little over 7 years. And before that, he was in management with Frito-Lay and Aramark. And when he got recruited by Terminix, he fell in love with the industry, as we all do. So welcome to the show, Lee. Glad to have you.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here. Happy to be on. Appreciate you guys having me.
You know, we don't have a lot of guests that I have more pest control experience than. So that being said, you were definitely in the trenches more than I was. And I think that's, you know, when we're talking about, we've talked a lot about scaling our companies recently. We've talked about this idea that pest control owners have a hard time letting go. And, you know, there is something to be said for people that spend that much time, you know, 7 years in direct management of operations.
Yep.
There's people who've been in the industry 30 plus years, but that feels like you learn a lot in 7 years.
I've had some unique experience, Alan, and just my steps that I can get into and kind of the different levels that I've been management wise that I think has really developed who I am in this industry and developed my experience. And I think it's kind of unique to a lot of people's path. Not all easy, a lot of it hard, but a lot of it great learning experiences for myself.
Yeah, for sure. You know, pest control, it's an industry that kind of sneaks up on you. The joke is no one ever wanted to get into the industry. And I've heard that 1,000 times, and I'm probably a contributor, you know, to a lot of those, but I think it's true. I mean, I was a lawyer.
Yeah.
And this industry just kind of sneaks up on you. You know, and you've had, especially with your new role, you've kind of had quite a few different experiences. And, you know, walk us through your time at Terminix and how that led you to where you are today.
Yeah, I'll take you back to, man, I had a really good run with Frito-Lay that set a really good management foundation for me as a leader. I found a book there. I know everybody, especially listening to you, Al, I know you're a book guy, but I have sent people this book over the years called It's Your Ship. It's a pretty simple read. If you guys have never read, I got to meet the author while I was actually at Terminix, but I had a leader give me that at Frito-Lay years ago. And it really defined, I think, who I was as a manager and the the type of manager that I wanted to be. And so I was pretty nestled in at Aramark. I was living in North Alabama. I graduated from Auburn, which typically comes up in the first 20 minutes of meeting me. People can tell that pretty obviously from the jump. But, you know, I got a call from a recruiter or email from a recruiter through LinkedIn. You know, you get all these things and you don't look at half of them. And it was from Terminix. And so I remember responding to it and agreeing to take a phone call. And so when the recruiter pitched me the idea of Terminix, I was like, well, you know, wasn't really interested, didn't know anything about bugs at all. And I said, well, ideally, where are you looking for someone to be? And they, you know, she said, ideally, you would live in Auburn, Alabama. I said, well, in that case, I am interested. It was an opportunity to move back to my alma mater and a place that I had grown to love over the years. And so I'd been gone about 10 years. And so we jumped at it. And then like a lot of people, when I, my first few months and the first year really in pest control, I was like, man, this really fits me. This fits my background. It fits my management style. It fits everything about me. And I just fell in love with the industry from there. What's kind of unique in my time at Terminix from a learning standpoint, I took over a really what would be considered a smaller than average office at Terminix. The bad thing about it at the time was I had no help whatsoever. Looking back, the best thing was I had no help whatsoever. So I learned every facet of the business inside and out. I didn't have any other managers with me. It was just Leon and Alan growing and leading a team, and got to do that for a couple of years and took over a large part of the Atlanta market or Northwest Georgia. And walked into an office with 70 some odd employees, you know, a whole array of management team. And from there, really learned how to structure who I was as a leader in this industry and learned a lot about accountability and delegation. And so that really set up my base or structure, if you would, in the pest control industry, I think going from that one extreme to the other. And a lot of people don't get to do that. A lot of people develop a lot slower, I think. But for me, I kind of got thrown into the fire both ways. And I think it worked out well in my favor.
You know, one of the things that Alan mentioned before is, you know, there's a lot of people who don't expect to be in the pest control industry. You know, you find yourself here and you're like, wow, I wasn't expecting to have a career in pest control. And we've all kind of figured out that it can be really rewarding and professionally fulfilling. And I think what is kind of few and far between are people who have, you know, upper level management experience in different industries and then make the transition over to pest control. And I wanted to ask, when you made that transition, you had kind of that management experience already. When you came into pest control, what was something that you noticed that was unique about the pest control industry that was different than maybe what you expected as a management person already?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was the customer interaction. You know, I had done, if you looked at my past experience with Frito-Lay or Aramark, you were dealing with a lot of businesses. You know, you had quote unquote customers or somebody that you dealt with on a routine basis, or I should say my team dealt with. But, you know, the great thing about pest control is we just happen to kill bugs. It's a customer focused industry. Any company I've worked for, any service person that's worked for me, if we're not typical pulling the trash cans up, you know, if they're sitting out while we're doing the service, then we're not providing top level service. We just happen to kill bugs. A guy that worked for me when I was at Pruitt is a gentleman that I'd hired at Terminix. You know, he called me one day. He was in my neighborhood and said, hey, do you have a ladder I can borrow? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And he said, well, I was at one of your neighbor's house. Their dryer vent is in between the first and second floor. The cover popped off. I'm going to pop it back on for him while I'm here. I'm like, absolutely. That's what we're doing. So I think, you know, I saw and met a ton of people who have been in the industry. And they weren't focused on just killing bugs. They were focused on taking care of customers on the front line. And I think that's one of the unique things about, you know, whether it's pest control or HVAC or plumbing, but home services, that really caught my attention was how much of an impact you can have on the end consumer, if you will. So
how do you get to that point where you help people change their perspective? So it's like, hey, we're not just running around the house a couple of times, de-webbing as fast as we can, spraying the foundation as fast as we can and leaving. How do you change that mentality in technicians where it's like, hey, there's something more to what you're doing? Do you hire for it? Does it have to be the right person? Or can you instill that in your culture kind of midstream?
I think you have to instill it in the culture. And that's obviously easier said than done. But you have to preach it from the rooftops every chance that you get. And you have to instill it in everybody that services customers when you're going to see them every day. I started back at Terminix in the Auburn area early on doing welcome bags for customers when we started servicing them for termite. And looking back, you know, it was pretty simple idea or concept. And it was kind of bootleg, if you will, back then. But we would show up and depending on what was on sale at Dollar General that week, it would be Pringles or it could be Chips Ahoy cookies, along with a Terminix floss water and water bottle, that sort of thing. And then at Pruitt, Rusty had that same vision. And we kind of did that same thing to really set home whenever you service customers, if you will, that, hey, we're showing up. We're more than just, you know, killing your bugs. We're here to take care of you and hopefully make you feel a part of the family. And I think getting your people to buy into that is the number one thing. What a lot of companies are going to is getting away from, you know, running 20 plus stops a day. I hear that more and more on some of these podcasts. I like to call it the Jerry Maguire effect, right? You're doing, you know, fewer customers, but better customer focus. And I think when you recruit and you explain it that way and you go through whatever your core values are, your mission is, but it's always geared around taking care of customers with the people that you're bringing in and interviewing. And it's not, look, I won't say it's the easiest thing to do in the world, but that has to be a focus no matter what you're trying to accomplish.
You know, I think it's amazing that you've been able to have these experiences where it's shown you that, you know, the quality of the customer experience is, you know, better than the quantity, right? And like you said, there's a lot of guys, companies who are moving to the quality of those interactions, the routes, you know, shaving it down from 20 plus stops a day to, you know, mid-teens or somewhere in that ballpark. And we've always talked about how much easier it is to retain a customer than it is to go out and find a customer, right? Absolutely. And how much less expensive it is nowadays, which how much we're spending on marketing and all these other avenues. So that part of it, I think, is just, it makes so much sense, right? You know, customers want to stay with the companies that truly make a difference for them and truly feel like they care about them, right? I was doing an interview. We've got a couple open positions that we're trying to fill for. And I was doing this interview with this lady, and I could tell that the philosophies were like matching up, you know, and I'm getting kind of excited because this sounds really great, you know. And I asked her a question. I said, you know, what really attracted you most to my company? You know, what attracted you most to Natura? And she's actually one of our customers. And she said, I've met a few different people from your company. You know, I've met Jake, who's my business partner. And she's like, he was really pleasant, wonderful. And I've met a few of your service technicians. And they were just so great. Like, they're so pleasant. They're so helpful and friendly. And obviously, they're there to do a job, but they make a big impact on my day, right? Yeah. And like, that's like the best compliment as a PCO that I can get, you know? Like, it truly is kind of the impact that your people are making on customers. You mentioned interviewing. I wanted to ask you, and since I've got interviewing on my brain, is there a particular culture-based interview question or line of questionings that you like when it comes to hiring managers or even frontline colleagues?
You know, I don't know necessarily about a question per se, Eric. I know I've gotten over the years, particularly looking at backgrounds and trying to read people and what they did. I don't necessarily dislike hiring people with pest control experience, but just because somebody has pest control experience does not mean they're the best person to come and, you know, service whatever company I'm at, right? It doesn't mean they fit the mold. One of the best technicians I've seen lately came from a drugstore. Was an assistant manager of a drugstore, was used to handling customers, had a really good interview, could talk. He was tired of working retail, right? He wanted a set schedule. He wanted to be able to work outside some. And man, I was just talking to this supervisor a couple of days ago and asked him how he was doing. And it's like, you know, he's still killing it. He's been there for, it's got to be close to a year now. But, you know, that's the thing. You're recruiting people who are positive or upbeat. And I think once people get in the industry, you know, like, for me, when I first told my parents, right, it's like, hey, I'm going to work for, you know, in the pest control industry. You know, you get this kind of gloss face look like, what? Or when, like today, I'm on a plane and this guy's like, well, what are you doing? It's like, I work for a pest control company. It's like, and you're flying to Arizona. Like, there's this perceived notion that it's still just a, you know, a dude in an old S10 coming around killing bugs. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously not the case. And so I think, if you get the right people in the right seat on the technician side and they're used to the customer service piece, your level of nasty bugs or nasty things that you have to deal with, it's going to happen. But at the end of the day, people just want to know that you care. They want you to take care of whatever issue that they're having. And we just need to be able to do that in a polite manner. And I think recruiting is going towards that, to where more and more people I talk to, they are recruiting people that are outgoing, like to talk, don't mind getting their hands dirty a little bit, and are interested in learning something new. And I think if you have that, they can take care of customers. That's winning the battle. Killing bugs is, you know, if you go to somebody's house and you don't get rid of their problem on the first or second try, if they like you, it's a whole lot different, because they're not going to cancel that person. Now, if they don't like you and you have no rapport with them, it's super easy to cancel. You talked about the cost to acquire a customer, whether you're doing door to door or you're doing traditional Google Market SEO. I mean, you're looking now on some of the podcasts that I listen to. I mean, there are people, it can cost you, you know, $100 to acquire a customer to $400 to acquire a customer, depending on the area that you're in. And I can remember back, one of the best Philip Fulmer quotes I ever heard was, his best recruiting job was keeping Peyton Manning for a senior year. And so you think about it, you've already got this customer, man, we need to keep them. And we do that through customer service. So I think that's, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, that's the biggest thing, is looking for those people that can actually carry on a conversation and talk, not just, I think traditionally, if you look back 5 or 10 years, we were recruiting people who were used to getting dirty, liked working, you know, odd end jobs, not necessarily going after somebody that was focused on having a general conversation and providing customer service to somebody. So
I think, you know, the way you're talking about retention, you know, I couldn't help but think, man, there's a lot more excitement around new customer than keeping an old one. And I think when you get a new customer, there's all these metrics that you can analyze, and you can, you know, talk about contract value, close rate, you know, how many recurring accounts you got that day, whatever. And so there's not like this moment in time where it's like, yeah, we just save that customer or whatever. But I think a really good idea for pest control companies that want to focus on profitability and improving their company is to make customer retention and customer service fun and sexy somehow, like whatever it is. And it's hard, because I think in business, a lot of times the most important things that we do are not specifically measurable. Like, yeah, hey, how are you treating your office staff? How the hell do you measure that? Like, hey, did you greet them when they got into the office? Did you ask them about, you know, how they're, you know, sick dad is or whatever? So some of these most important things, and keeping customers is one of them. And I talk about this a lot. And at Proof, we are so focused on this, and we talk about it all the time. And it is a top level goal for anybody on the service side, anyone in customer service, where we always know where we're at. But I think we still have some room to improve. Like when somebody gets a 5-star review, that makes it pretty easy, right? We can celebrate that. We immediately recognize a technician, send it out for everybody to see that's in that branch, so they can say good job and all these things. But I recommend that pest control companies do something where you're making the customer process, that customer journey, enjoyable and fun and exciting, just like the new sales. Because it's a lot easier for us on the new sales side to hype up, we're paying commissions, we're doing this and that. But we always preach like, hey, it's more important to keep a former customer. And it is, for a lot of reasons, not just cost. There's a lot of reasons to keep a new customer or keep a former customer versus acquiring a new one. You've been to their house, you know, kind of the issues, you know each other. There was a Seinfeld episode where they're talking about breaking up and how you don't get it on the first push. And they compared it to a vending machine. They're like, you got to rock it back and forth.
Yeah.
It's like that with customer retention. You don't get it on the first time. You don't retain a customer for life over the phone when you sign them up. It's over and over, and this repeated exposure. It's being on time for service. It's doing all these things. And we need to celebrate that within our companies. And we have to do more than just show that it's important to us. We have to align our interests with our technician and service staff and come up with programs and help. I think clarity and transparency, it will help with that. Like where we're like, hey, this is important to our company for a bunch of reasons, and it just doesn't get talked about. And especially, you know, Eric and I are in door-to-door pretty heavy, and we see what some of the door-to-door companies.
Yeah.
There's so many people in the pest control industry that would be shocked at attrition rates of some of those companies. Just absolutely shocked. And I'm not going to mention any names, but there are companies that are north of 50% cancellation the first year they sign somebody up, which means they're still technically under contract. They're still canceling. And then there's probably 55, 60 company wide.
Yeah.
Year after year.
Man.
Yeah. I personally would not be overly shocked by that number. I don't know that I've ever seen it at anywhere I was at, especially on the door to door side, which mainly was at Terminix. I did not see that, but I could see if you were not set up for success, especially on the door to door side, where you would have a pretty easy fall off if you're not ready to handle that volume of customer and you're not ready to handle that volume of that level of service that it takes. I mean, there are some great companies out there right now that are literally growing. They're going into markets. They're taking, you know, there's one company that'll take like 100 door-to-door people. It's like crazy. And they'll just literally grow a market in 3 to 4 months. And I don't know what their attrition rates are on there. I have no clue, but I just know the business model and kind of what they're doing with that right now. But to your point, you know, you really got to have some great standard operating procedures. I hate to use that term because it sounds like Encyclopedia Britannica, but you got to really be able to have people follow those processes, provide that same level of service. I think some companies, Alan, lose sight to your point of when we do an initial, the service is so spot on. And, you know, I've known some companies that have had start techs and they put certain people in these start tech roles because this is the best interaction they're going to have. These guys are going out. They're the best technicians we have. They're doing all that. And it's like, yeah, but are we just sending the crappy people out on round two and three of the service? So I don't know that that model works. But I think getting everybody on the same page and realizing, hey, you know, all your technicians have to be rowing the boat the same direction. If not, your customers are just going to fall off because they're going to see it, right? But yeah, that's a great point, man.
You know, I used to work at DirecTV and I used to manage and train at this big call center in the Boise area. And one of the unique things about that particular call center is that it had this hub for just retention. If you were a retention agent at that hub, that was the only phone call that you took. I mean, it was probably, who knows, anywhere from 30 to 40 calls a day, just customers that want to cancel. And that's all the only thing you talked about. And it didn't seem like the most joyful of jobs. You know, it definitely wasn't easy on those reps. One of the things that I thought was really cool that they did is they had a call scorecard and evaluations, right? They'd have a QA department that would listen in on some of those phone calls. And they would score these calls based on, you know, the lead measures of that rep, the things that they had control over that they could do to influence that customer and the experience, right? So you could have a score on one of those evaluations that was 100%, you know, 10 out of 10, 100%, even if you didn't save that customer, because they wanted to focus on the things that you can control and make sure that the quality was there. And they obviously assume that if you're scoring 100%, you're probably saving a lot of customers, you know, even if some slip through the cracks. But no matter what your save rate was, when you scored 100 on those evaluations, it was like a party. It was a celebration. It was big, right? And it was so important from a customer service and just a cultural standpoint that those celebrations happened. Because just like you're saying, right, you know, sales are sexy. Right? New customers are sexy. Saving existing customers is kind of like a thing that you just expect your customer service team to do. But you really have to build a culture that celebrates those things, right? And since then, I've incorporated the scorecard and the process and everything else into our company. And we try to celebrate those lead measures, those things that can be measured when we can. And I feel like it makes a big difference for us. And, you know, I agree with what you and Alan are kind of saying, like it has to be something that is built into your culture and it has to be something that is intentional, right? You can't just give someone a pat on the back and say, hey, thanks for saving that person. You know, it's got to be something that you really build into incentives and culture and the whole experience for your team.
It's funny because just the way that you were saying that reminds me of like a tie. My son's getting really into soccer and they can tie, which is a new concept to me. I knew that that existed, but I just didn't play sports where you could tie. Oh. And when you sometimes saving a customer, it feels like, well, we didn't lose anything, but did we win anything? Right. So it's the owner's job or the manager's job to make sure that that's not how they feel. Yes, you 100% did win something. You know, you won this customer back and that's better than in talking about it. But anyway, that's kind of the sense that I get sometimes with some companies where it's like, meh. Yeah, I saved a customer, and I think we need to turn that on its head a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Well, Lee, as we're wrapping up here, tell us a little bit about where you are now in your career, some of the things that you're doing, and interested in hearing about that.
Yeah, so I took a role, a colleague of mine from Terminix took the CRO, Chief Revenue Officer role at Certus towards the end of last year. And so he had reached out to me about the opportunity to come work there, and I was not really ready at the time. And then when I stepped away at the end of the year, you know, it's just a unique opportunity for me. I think there's a lot of positives that are going on at Certus that spoke to me. If you look at my, you know, we kind of talked about my history at Terminix and what that laid out. And then what I really enjoyed at Pruitt in my 2.5 years there is, you know, we basically started a company from scratch and grew it. And you guys have talked to Rusty in the past, and you know all about our, you know, that company and everything that we've done there. But it was a startup. And so it was my time at Terminix had prepared me for what we had done there, or what we did there, and how we grew that thing. And the one thing that excites me about Certus is I know you guys are very familiar with the company, but you know, it's a company that's done a ton of acquisitions over the last 2.5-3 years. And they changed leadership pretty much across the board over the last, I think, roughly 6 months to a year. And it's kind of a sales focused company, an organization that they're switching to now, or I should say we're switching to now. And it is, you know, I'm 1 month in, man, so I don't know everything about it to tell you everything, but it is a lot like having a large company that's on the PCT 100. And we're doing a lot of things that startup companies are doing. We're trying to lay out a lot of groundwork, a lot of foundation. There are a lot of leaders who have been doing this for several months longer than I have that have got a lot of things going. And so I've been brought in to help where I can on the sales side and try to drive this thing that I think is going to be huge. So very excited about it. But like I said, I'm just a month in right now, but I think the area that we're going is pretty special to watch.
So are you saying that, I mean, because everybody knows that Certus was acquiring companies like crazy. That was their model. Founder was in mergers and acquisitions, right? Very well versed in that. Are they still kind of following that path, or are they maybe slowing down a little bit on the acquisition, focusing more on internal and other types of sales?
I don't know for any company that's our size would ever pull away from acquisitions, but I don't know that it's the exact focus that it has been for the last 2.5-3 years, to where the sole focus was to buy. Now, literally, I believe it was 50 plus pest companies that were purchased. I think right now is, if you look at the leadership team that's established now, I think it's set up to try to develop a blown company that's going to grow. And maybe, I hate to say, get a little more traditional, but it is more focused now on operating like a pest control company that's one, whereas before there was a bunch of companies operating kind of as their own. I think they've only been on the same CRM for maybe 6 months. So you imagine all that kind of out there in the ether, all these different reports and numbers and things like that. And so now it is more of like, hey, we are Certus. We've got, you know, a few different brands in there, but for the most part, we're operating as PureCore in most of our locations. And we are trying to build teams as that. You know, since I've been here, we're steadily hiring salespeople. We've run some crazy promotions the first 2 months of the year. So January, we did a 2 all-inclusive trips to Mexico. This month, we're doing springtime in Paris, which is Paris, Vegas. And so we're trying to recruit sales, you know, just like everybody else in the industry. But we're trying to recruit hungry salespeople that want to grow and grow with this company. And it's pretty exciting to see. I will tell you, 1 month in, it's been pretty eye-popping what the new leadership team has done so far. And I'm just glad they brought me in to be a part of it. I think I know what I'm talking about, at least. So they're giving me an opportunity to be a part of something special. That's sure.
That's awesome, man. Well, I think this has been fantastic. It's clear that you have a good grasp on the pest control industry, you know, that you'll add value to, you know, any company that you join. So thanks so much for joining us today. If there's somebody out there that has a question about something we covered or something else, where should we send them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can reach me on LinkedIn, or they're more than welcome to email me. I'm happy to put it out there. It's lee.thompson@certuspest.com. And I would tell people to do it, man. I've learned so much in the last few years, even from this podcast. I saw your poll today on Facebook, who has done a training around something off the podcast. I called Dawn Daggett, I don't know how many times, but I didn't know who she was until she was on your podcast. And I was trying to realize, God, what all am I missing in this business that we're running? And so just, you know, being able to touch people like that was one thing when I got out of Terminix that I learned how the industry truly is, the family, the atmosphere. God, Pest World. I never knew there was such a thing as Pest World. But the camaraderie between companies is kind of unparalleled, and people will share anything just because they enjoy it and they enjoy helping people. And so I'm a pretty open book and love to help where I can. So thank you guys for having me today. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, our pleasure. Thanks for joining us, Lee. And, you know, pleasure chatting with you and learning from you. And best of luck, man. Best of luck with Certus. Best of luck in your career. And we appreciate you sharing your knowledge with us.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bug Bucks podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please show your support by subscribing and leaving us a 5-star rating. Thank you. And we'll catch you on next week's episode.